Welcome back to Questions in Ethics with Dr. Russell Moore. I'm Dan Darling, and we're here with Dr. Moore, and here to talk about the end of serial, the end of the season, and we have some guests with us.
Well, so, Dan, you would have to know why we're doing this, because of those who didn't listen to the Questions in Ethics broadcast last time,
right?
We were someone was asking, is conscience kind of bothering him listening to it because he's listening to a commercial product that's made about a real life murder, and is this something we ought to do? And so we aired that the other day, and since then, of course, the final episode has come out. Just this morning, and so we've listened to it, and you and I were kind of debating back and forth about some things today. Yes. In this final episode. And then, of course, the two guests that we have on with us have been bantering back and forth and debating this morning.
Yes.
On Twitter. But they also have some special expertise in this particular area, so why don't you introduce them?
Yeah, so we have with us Joe Carter, who works for us at ERLC, and he writes for the Gospel Coalition and Acton Institute and a bunch of places, prolific writer and blogger. And then we have Mike Cosper, who's a pastor at Sojourn Church in Louisville and author of several books. His latest, The Stories We Tell, talking about how the stories that we tell in the culture point us to the gospel story. And so glad to have both of you here with us today. And I think what we want to do is maybe start with Dr. Moore. What did you think of the ending? And then maybe have some of the other guys come
in. You know, I
think
what we probably ought to do before we actually talk about this final episode is to talk about the larger sort of question that we addressed last time. I'd love to hear from Mike and Joe about whether this is a problematic thing at all. Should this sort of podcast even exist? And is that a good thing or a bad thing in terms of a way that Christians ought to see the world? What do you think, Mike?
Well, I think it's a I think journalism at its best is seeking to kind of keep the public life honest. And what's interesting about this podcast and one of the things I've been reflecting on a lot sort of in the context of this is there are all these questions going on right now about criminal justice anyway in the light of the Eric Garner case and some of the other things that are going on, Tamir Rice as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting to have this podcast looking at an entirely different situation, an entirely different cultural subcontext, and nonetheless sort of asking questions about how an investigation happens, how a trial is conducted, and raising in many ways I think similar questions to is the system, does the system work, is it a search for truth, or is it a search for a certain kind of understanding of justice, a certain kind of in this case being the conviction.
So you don't feel as though it's exploiting the murder of Hay for commercial benefit in a way that ought to make us feel
right, right. Humble. Yeah, it doesn't feel that way to me. It feels I feel like whenever her life comes up, whenever she has whenever her story comes up in the thing, I feel like there's a compassion for her, a compassion for her life, for her family's privacy, which mm-hmm. I think Koenig has in many ways honored the fact that they don't want to be involved and invoked too much, and so she's really focused on. Not so much on Hay, but on what happened and what was the aftermath related specifically to, again, the investigation and the trial. So, and I think that's not only do I think it's something that's sort of passable and okay, but I think in the way that good journalism always has it's asking important questions, whether you agree with the conclusions or not. It's asking important questions about our culture.
And Joe, I take it you do not agree with that.
No, absolutely not. Because I think, first of all, I don't think it's journalism. I think it's more of an entertainment. I think the bigger problem is this undermines our confidence in our system. And we're getting people to think, well, they're taking disjointed facts, taken in a very biased presentation, and they can draw their own conclusion about what really happened. That puts the audience in the position of knowing more than a jury who sat there for months and listened to all the facts, try the case. Now, if this was just serial, it probably would be, oh, no big deal. This is just an entertainment thing. But we're seeing this across the country with issues like in Garner and in New York and the Ferguson case in Missouri, where people just hear a couple of facts, automatically form an opinion, and then they will stick with that narrative no matter what, because they think they know more than people who actually heard all the facts. And I think once we do that, we're really setting our system up for failure, the criminal justice system for failure, because it's going to get to the point where nothing can ever be proven. When I was still in the Marines, I was went to grad school for a little while, taking forensic science classes. And the instructors hated the TV show CSI because it was ruining the jury system. Because people thought, well, if the guy was guilty, you'd be able to have all this forensic evidence. And that's just not the case. I mean, we're setting up unrealistic expectations for how the system can actually work.
Okay. All right. So we have a range of views. I gave my view the other day about whether or not I think it's ethical for us to listen to it. I think it is. And I think it's a worthy project. But when it comes to this final episode, I'm curious to know what everyone thinks. I think there are some people probably listening to it. I'm going to go ahead and say it's spoiler alert. So if you haven't listened to it and you want to, you don't want to listen to the rest of this podcast because we're going to be talking about what happens. But I think probably some people who are disappointed because they expected that it would end with, aha, here's the smoking gun. That Adnan is the killer, or here's the smoking gun. We've identified the real killer, and Adnan is free. I mean, obviously, I knew that wasn't going to happen because Adnan Syed is in jail. I mean, it would probably be easier to pull that off in a pre-internet era than it is right now. Someone can just listen to this and Google, "Hey, what's up with Adnan Syed right now?" and find out he's not released from prison. But I think that it wrapped up about as well as it could have in terms of coming in and kind of giving sort of where she stands on things. And I think I am probably pretty close to where she is in the sense that I think he's guilty. That's my gut intuition. I think he's guilty. And I think the preponderance of the evidence suggests that he's guilty. If all I had in the jury room are the facts that we have had on serial, I would probably not be able to vote to convict. But I'm confident that the jury had stuff that we don't have. So I'm not second-guessing the jury here. I'm just saying I do think he's guilty, but I do think there are holes in the investigation as we've been presented it, and I think there are problems with it. Dan Darling here thinks that Adnan Syed is as pure as the driven snow, could not possibly have done anything along those lines. And what did you think, Dan?
That's not quite what I think. I mean, going into this episode, I felt like there's a chance Adnan is innocent. I thought the state has a very, very flimsy case, at least what we're seeing or hearing on Serial. This episode challenged that thinking a little bit, only because of the introduction of this Josh guy who said that Jay was scared, and you know, it's just another person that was with Jay that kind of corroborates some of that.
Let me stop you right there, Dan, just to ask Mike and Joe, does Jay being scared matter to the two of you at all? Is that a big deal in this narrative?
I think it's interesting. I think it is interesting, and it definitely the introduction of that character, I agree with Dan, the introduction of that character was very definitely had an impact on my thinking about the case. I won't jump into that too quickly here, but I do think it's significant. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I mean, one of the things. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, we got to keep in mind that Jay didn't come forward until Mr. S was seen as a suspect, mm-hmm. and Jay came forward to kind of clear that guy. So he said, I don't want this innocent guy to go to jail. So I think adding to the fact that that's the reason Jay came forward, I think that gives him a little more credibility that he was probably scared before, but he knew he didn't want to go to an innocent guy to go to jail, so he stepped forward and did the right thing and testified against Adnan.
I mean, the thing that is hard to refute, even though I think there's a chance Adnan could be innocent, is that if Adnan is innocent, he had a really unlucky day. I mean, with all these things, circumstantial evidence. On the flip side, I mean, you have the introduction of this possible serial killer. I don't know if that's a false flag. There are some things that line up there. You know, the Reddit community has pulled up some other information that, you know, where that park was kind of in the path of where the serial killer was when he got out of jail. I mean, I just, the thing that really bothered me is the sense of like, that we just, you know, hearing from the detective initially, of course, this time he said that there's a lot of holes in the case, but that detectives technically try to find what they think is the, you know, the narrative and then try to fill that instead of trying to look for the truth. And I'm just uncomfortable with – the goal is not necessarily to put someone in jail. The goal is to find the truth.
See, we keep coming back to that. That does not bother me because I just didn't hear that the way that you did. I didn't hear that as we don't care what the truth is. We just want to get our narrative and have it. It seems to me as though what they were saying is the same sort of thing as someone who's saying, I'm organizing a sermon here, and then I'm kind of correcting that as I go along as I'm studying that, not here's my outline. I don't care what the Bible says. I mean, that was the way so I think you and I are hearing that completely, completely differently. Mike, what do you think?
You know, I was going to say, regarding that point, I think that's a significant point for me too. And I couldn't help as I was listening to the show, especially in these later episodes, when they brought in Jim Tranum, the detective, I just kept thinking about the TV show The Wire. And if you haven't seen The Wire, there's a lot that goes on in The Wire along these lines, where the priority on the homicide department is not to get to the truth, but to close cases, you know, get the numbers right, close cases as quickly as possible, move them from red to black. And the real heart of sort of the conflict on The Wire lies on that point, where McNulty is this detective and he's got this, you know, he's obviously a very flawed character, but he's got this drive for the truth. He wants to get to the truth. He wants to get the real bad guys. He wants to do all this, but he's under pressure from his superiors who have all this political pressure on them. Their job is to close cases as quickly as possible. And one of the things David Simon, who wrote the series and developed the series, he was an investigative journalist for many years before all of this. And one of the things he's talked a lot about is that as he did investigative journalism with in Baltimore and you know, long-term work with the homicide department, he was trying to pull out, and the reason he put it in the series is this is a real problem. This drives the justice system in ways that oftentimes we're unaware of it. And it just sort of introduces, for me, it just introduces a level of doubt about, well, why is Jay saying the things he's saying? Why does his testimony change over time? Why are there, you know, these multiple interviews where there's hours before the tape comes on and all of this? It just introduces the question of what's going on in those interviews and conversations. And one other thing I'll just toss out there that again comes from the Reddit community and not from the show is that one of these detectives that was a part of the case was later had to resign after someone was exonerated for a coerced confession. So it just introduces doubt, not necessarily Adnan's innocent, mm-hmm. but it just introduces a significant amount of doubt. And I think this is where Joe and I have the greatest level of conflict on this. Is I think that it's crucial in a democracy for there to be accountability from the public and accountability from the press on, you know, how is the justice system working? Is it fair? Is it biased? Is it a quest for truth, or are we trying to, you know, as David Simon does in The Wire, are we about getting the numbers right, getting our numbers up, and keeping the politicians happy, et cetera, et cetera?
I agree with you, Mike, in some sense. And then I also hear what Joe's saying, and I think this has colored my own view of Serial in that we live in an age of CSI where we're watching these cop shows where they always find that fiber, they always find that that thing that makes the case so easy to see a kind of open and shut case. And that's not really reality with a lot of these. And yet, so you kind of have that tension between the two things where if you're going to convict a man, you really need to have solid evidence because this is a man's life. And it's on the other hand, there's never a case that everything is just so easily lined up. So I'm guessing, Joe, that's kind of your fear about this sort of thing.
But it seems to me that Joe says more than that because didn't you say, Joe, that if all that you had was the evidence that we have been presented with on this podcast, you would still vote to convict? Is that right, or am I mischaracterized?
I mean, there's six or seven key points. Now, if you actually look at them, you said, okay, let's start with this one. What's the probability that he's guilty or innocent based on this? Now, let's add this next one. And kind of go through kind of a Bayesian inference. It's almost impossible to say, okay, well, it's just a wild coincidence all this stuff happened. It's kind of like you know, when we look at creation evolution debate, what's the possibility, the probability that all life could have sprung up from nothing and happened? I mean, when you have to look at things probabilistically. Nobody knows exactly, and the police don't know exactly what happened. And I think when we talk about narrative, what they're talking about is, let's look at all the evidence and put it in a coherent explanation. That's the narrative. It's not, let's, you know, find a, they're looking at a fact pattern and creating a narrative out of that fact pattern. They're not creating a narrative and then looking for facts. And I think that's what a lot of the listeners do. They have their own narrative in their mind of what happened, and then they look for facts that back up their, whether he's guilty or he's innocent, rather than looking at the facts first and saying, what does this really tell us probabilistically?
I think a good way to close on this would be to say, kind of return to a question we talked about in the last podcast, is kind of big picture. What does this, our fascination with this, and even crime shows and shows like The Wire, tell us about our longing for justice in the world? And maybe, Mike, you could start. That's kind of a big theme of your book, The Stories We Tell.
Yeah, I think it, you know, there's the simple reality that, you know, when Cain kills Abel, Abel's blood speaks from the ground. And I think in this case, you know, Haman Lee's blood speaks. You know, there's this desire for justice. And when you introduce this question of what if we got the wrong guy, I think we're compelled on two fronts. One is the injustice of a man potentially sitting behind bars who's innocent. And again, I'm not saying that Anand's innocent. I don't necessarily have a real strong opinion one way or the other on that. But in terms of what compels us, I think that's a factor. And I think the other thing that then compels us is, well, if this guy didn't do it, who did? Like, mm-hmm. and how is this, you know, this poor girl has not, her family, they haven't received justice. Her blood is speaking. And it really moves me, you know, emotionally, just to think about that factor in particular.
Joe, what about you?
I think I think Mike's right to a point. I think it shows that we like justice in stories, because the same people who listen to Serial podcasts will do everything they can to get out of actual jury duty, where they would actually go and listen to an actual trial of a murder. So I think we like justice in stories, and we like stories that kind of wrap up. And I think that's what people wanted out of this. So I think there's a justice element, but I think mostly we want kind of a counterintuitive. We want to be able to play detective and find the clue that exonerated the innocent guy and got him out of jail, rather than looking, doing the hard work of actually what justice requires.
Yeah, and I think also what we see here is the deep notion of sin that a nice, personable guy could commit murder. I mean, I think probably the most key part of the entire podcast series for me is when Adnan, talking to Sarah Koenig, says it drives him crazy when people say, you could never do this because you're a nice guy. I think that's exactly right. And so I think that having people listening every week to a character who does become very sympathetic, I think Joe accused on Twitter maybe Sarah Koenig of having a crush on him, and Mike thought that was sexist. We'll just leave that to the listeners to judge. A mutual friend of all of ours, Justin Taylor, just emailed me right now and said, I think that Sarah Koenig will profile Joe Carter for season 2 of Serial, and I guarantee she will not have a crush on him or be charmed in any way. So
that's good.
But I think that it is true that Adnan Syed is a very sympathetic figure. And so just based on what we have available in the conversations, and having the moment of thinking, could someone like that do this? And by contrast, could a justice system mess up and put an innocent guy in jail? I think those are very worthwhile questions to have.
Well, this has been a fascinating discussion, and this is something that I've obviously captured the cultural attention, and glad to have both Joe Carter and Mike Hosper here with us on this special edition of Questions in Ethics. We invite you to continue to listen to Questions in Ethics. You can get it in iTunes or go to erlc.com or russellmoore.com. If you have any questions for us, for Dr. Moore, just email us at questions@erlc.com. And until next time, this is Questions in Ethics.